We have been seeing that Shri Krishna explained to Arjuna that this is a practical science. The ultimate truth of our oneness with the universe, our immortality, our inherent divinity can be actualized, can be experienced, and there is a means for that. That is called yoga. The application of this truth in life is what is called yoga. And he told that this yoga is to be practiced. In this practice, there is nothing to be lost. Everything is positive about it. Also, there are no bad side effects either. One has to practice assiduously with the focus on the goal. The determination has to be there. And depending on how much determination we have, how much concentrated our practice is, our progress takes place. This is just a simple cause and effect relationship. That suppose somebody asks that how long will it take for somebody from Providence to Boston, to get from Providence to Boston, how long will it take? Now the answer depends on firstly, how fast do you drive? First of all, you drive or you walk or how you go, that is one thing. Secondly, if you are driving, how fast do you drive? Thirdly, also there is this question that how many breaks will you take in between? It is, somebody was telling that it took that person from Providence to Boston 3-4 hours because there was lot of traffic. Also, stopped at a shop and then went to see another friend in between. And then like that. Now it all depends how many digressions you have. Depending on that, the time will be determined how long does it take. So, the more one is focused, the lesser the digressions are, naturally one will reach there speedier. If we have nothing else in mind, just to realize this goal, then of course we will reach quickly. And it has been told that you don't need to have any digressions. You don't have to worry about anything else. Because getting this, everything will be obtained. Nothing else will remain to be obtained. That was the last verse that we stopped at in our previous Friday class. That just as when there is a big flood and the river is full, then all those small these ponds in the inside the river, they also automatically get filled. You don't have to fill them separately. Those holes in the bed of the river, in the river bed, they also get filled when the river gets filled. You don't have to then dig a separate hole inside that bed to get water. When the river is flooded, that all everything gets filled with water. So similarly, when this knowledge dawns, then the life is fulfilled. Then you don't have to achieve anything else in life. You don't have to think then, then what will happen? I wanted to get a degree in theater. What will happen to that? One doesn't have to worry about it at all. Somebody may think, what will happen then? Let me first take care of my bees. And then, because later on, maybe it is, what will my bees be taken care of or not? You don't have to worry about that. Everything will be taken care of when this is taken care of. And if this is not taken care of, then you may take care of everything else, nothing is going to help. This is the situation, friends. This is the truth. It is difficult to digest. We feel that let me take care of this little thing, that little thing, something, let me first take care of my family, my friends, my business. After I finish all that, then I will turn my mind to God. If you can take care of the world, really, then you don't need to take care of God at all. The trouble is, world cannot be taken care of. The trouble is here that our worldly desires can never be fulfilled. They only keep on multiplying and multiplying exponentially. It is not that we will be able to finish, fulfill our worldly desires and desire to have a big house, desire to have plenty of money, and desire to have a big, 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 big bee farm, desire to have all these things. We can have all those desires expanding. They keep on expanding. They have no end at all. They are all like bottomless pits. You try to fill them, then they will never get filled. It is, we are all having, we all had enough experience in the world. And we should realize by that experience that it is never possible to fulfill our desires in that way. The only way to fulfill these desires is to know the truth. And as one knows the truth that I am everything, I am everywhere, then what else is remains to be achieved? Everything is filled by that. That is the statement that Jesus made, that ye first seek the kingdom of heaven. Everything else shall be added unto it. This is a very important statement, that seek first that goal. Everything else in life doesn't matter at all, friends. This truth is to be felt in heart. So, after telling this, now Shri Krishna starts telling the details of yoga. This truth is to be kept in mind, that this is the goal of life. Now, the details of how to achieve it. As a wonderful teacher, Sri Krishna is, he gives first the picture, a big picture. Now the details are being worked out. Like an architect sent me a drawing for our possible expansion of this building. And he sent some schematic drawings. What will be, how will it look and all that. And said that first we will look into these things. The details can be worked out later. Details are to be worked out, but first let us look at the main picture. So let us, Sri Krishna also gives the main picture, that this is what we need to achieve. Now come to the details. Details are very important. Many times we saw that success eludes us because we forget about the details. We do not pay attention to the details and therefore we miss the ultimate success. We then curse other people that this fellow didn't cooperate, that thing happened, and my misfortune came in between. It was waiting there, you know, that my misfortune to just get in. So it is, we blame our stars, blame everything in the world, except the fact that I did not take care of the details. Everything is linked to these things, that if you take care of the means, the goal has to be there. And every detail is important. All of them together make a picture. Small detail might be forgotten, and then therefore for that small detail the whole result would be gone. It is like a man started doing some gardening, and he used to give water and fertilizer and manure every now and then. For days after days he did, and nothing was coming out. He had forgotten the minor detail of putting the seed, you know. So, because he had forgotten that detail, other things did not make any progress. So similarly, we forget some details, thinking that, well, other things I have done. Well, other things you might have done, but that doesn't mean that you will get the result. If you, this is all joined with each other. This is all interdependent, and therefore details are very important. Now Sri Krishna takes up the most important detail of yoga for us, and that is the yoga of action. Because we all lead a very active life, actions are very important for us. We are continuously working, and therefore yoga of action is very important for each of us. Our actions need to be properly oriented. It is important because when we find that our goal is to realize God, we feel our actions to be obstacles and feel that our actions should be discarded. That is the worst thing that we can do. That is to be avoided at all costs. The action is to be done, but in a proper way. You cannot be inactive. Arjuna has, we saw in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna had that terrible temptation that let me give up all action, let me give up my duty, because that is the obstacle that is causing so many problems for me. So let me run away from my duty and then everything will be fine. But you cannot run away from work. You have, the work will somehow follow you. It will stick to you. So, stopping the work is not an alternative at all. Sri Krishna now comes to that. He showed Arjuna that you cannot stop the work. This idea will come again and again in Bhagavad Gita, that don't even consider that option, that I will not work then. Because work creates problems. People all feel this. You are fine in your room. When you have to work with others, then you see that this man is not right, that man is terrible, talking to that fellow makes my mind polluted, and so many desires come because of my work. So let me just sit in my room or lie down in my room and then there will be no problems at all. So, this is a very tempting thought, and it comes to us very often, especially when the work is very tiresome. So many problems come during the work which we cannot manage, and then this thought comes, why do I need it? Oh, leave me alone. I don't want to get involved into anything. Just let all this be gone. I want to run away. I would go somewhere in a forest and sit there all by myself. There will be nobody around to trouble me. Nothing will bother me. Very tempting thought, but nothing can be farther than the practical truth. It is impossible to do it like that. If you go, I have seen so many such examples, including my own, that the truth of Bhagavad Gita is more and more vividly appealing to me, that to try to run away from work means whatever progress you otherwise also would have achieved, that also gets nullified. And instead of doing right work, you end up only doing wrong work. Because not doing work is not at all an option. If you avoid the right work, only thing will happen is that you will end up doing the wrong work or in a wrong manner. So therefore, Sri Krishna begins this science of working. It is 47th verse. It has four parts, and it is in nutshell the whole of Karma Yoga or Yoga of Action is contained in this 47th verse.
कर्मण्येवाधिकारस्ते मा फलेषु कदाचन मा कर्मफलहेतुर्भू मा ते संगोस्त्वकर्मणि.
To work alone you have the right, but never claim its results. Let not the results of action be your motive, nor be attached to inaction. This is a good translation, very nice. It is this one part of it is not so easy to translate, but this brings out the meaning very well. That karmanyevadhikaraste, to work alone you have the right. While working, let us remember this. That we have to do this work. Do it. That is alone our focus is only has to be there, because our jurisdiction is only that much. We have no right to the results thereof at all. This is very difficult to accept, very difficult to understand also. What creates bondage and suffering that results from work is not work per se, but our expectations, desires and attachment that creates all these problems. That is the cause of misery. But it is natural, because you have no right to the results. When you try to grab something that is not rightfully yours, you are punished. So similarly, here too, you don't have the right to the results of the work. Do your work. That is what you have the right. Karmanyevadhikaraste. Keep on doing your work. Don't think that whether you will succeed or you will not succeed, whether you will get this result or that result. Don't worry about it. Do your work meticulously, with full attention. Do not worry about the results, because you don't have any claim on the results thereof. Sounds simple but very difficult to even understand, let alone digest. When one starts digesting this truth a bit, the life becomes really very sweet. It becomes free from so many problems. When we know this, that ours is just to do the work, we do not have any claim on the results thereof. I do not have any claim or authority on what happens. Mine is just to do work. It is the result is not at all. One may feel that I am working, so I should get this and then I will work. If I am to get this, then only it is worthwhile to work. Otherwise, why should I work? There are many reasons that you still have to work. That if you don't do this work, then you will have to do some other work. Secondly, the result is not according to what you expect. There are so many factors which govern the results. Your expectations has not necessarily anything to do with the result that comes. In fact, it has nothing to do with the results. Your expectations only create bondage for you. The result doesn't depend on what you expect or what you don't expect. Whether you expect or whether you don't expect, the result is dependent on various factors. Your action, your work is only one part of it. In the ensuing chapters, for example, the 18th chapter tells it again. In between also this is told, that the work is dependent, the result of the work is dependent on the factors like you use some instruments to work, somebody gave you this work, then the work, there were somebody else involved getting this work done. Then there are so many other unseen factors which were affecting it. So it is told five factors. Really there are five factors which influence or create the ultimately the result. There are really infinite, because the last of these five means really the fate, which includes all the unknown parameters. The fate is the last factor, daivam. It is, what are these five factors? Karanam, karma cha, karta cha. These three. Karanam means the means. Then the action that is being done by the means. Then the karta, the doer. The doer, the deed, the instruments with which the deed is done. Then the various other factors which were involved in that. And fifth is the fate. After all, the universe is all connected. So many other factors were also playing their role which we do not know. Those parameters are not what under our control. Even we do not know them. So all these five factors go in to produce the result. So how you alone can decide it by your action? You have no claim therefore on the result. But if you don't do your part, then you lose it. You have to do your part. Keep on doing your part with full dedication. Don't look about here, there, whether the others are doing their part or not. Was your work that of the supervisor? If that is the case, then you could do it, but other than that, it becomes a part of your work to see whether others are doing their work or not. But if not, then you do your work. Is it your job to do to see whether somebody else is doing their work or not? This gradually one learns after getting many kicks in life that we miss the import of this yoga of action just because we take too much burden on us. Nobody has paid you see whether others are doing their work or not. Why unnecessarily you take up that duty on your head? Is your work not enough for you? It is. On the one hand, you complain that I have to do so much of work. The others are not doing anything. Why do you look at others then? Don't waste time. There is somebody else who will take care of it. You do your part. This is, one learns this with, after a lot of struggle. It is the big source of suffering lies here, that instead of looking whether you do your work sincerely or not, lot of attention is paid whether he is doing it properly or not, she is doing it properly or not, and why should he or she not be punished for not doing it? The system should take care of this. Government should punish this man or that woman for not doing his or her work properly. And our thought energy, our time is all frittered in this way. And thus, we do not do justice to our own work also properly. So this is a great lesson to remember, a statement to meditate upon. Karmani eva adhikaraste. To work alone you have the right. Eva, alone. Only to work is your right. Ma phaleshu. Never to the results thereof. And do your work with utmost sincerity and that is finished. Your job is finished. Don't worry whether God is doing his job or not properly. Let me see that. It is none of your business whether God is doing his job properly or not. It is, we take up unnecessarily all those things on us. And keep on expecting the results. The second thing, that which really doesn't belong to us, we have no claim on that. We keep on thinking about it all the time. And in fact, that is one of the major reasons that our work is spoiled. Because the attention that should have gone to execution of the work goes to the thinking of what will happen, what results we will get out of it. So much of imagination comes, like a farmer who just keeps on thinking instead of properly doing the work of farming, how much crop I will get out of it, and then how much will be the price. Keeps on increasing, you know, first he thinks that it will be £1,000, then he adds another 10 pounds to it. No, I have done so much. Maybe it will be 120 pounds. And then, no, maybe 150. Now, usually, you see, 200 pounds these days is not impossible with modern techniques. So, 100 goes to, after 1 hour of imagination, it becomes 200 pounds. Then, what price I will get for it? This much, and goes on thinking about it, and then doesn't take care of the crops. What is at hand, it is not taken care of. That is not bothered about, because the mind is thinking about the results. That is that in Buddhist meditation, therefore it is told, moment, pay attention to the moment, present. Don't keep on brooding over the past or imagining the future. Handle the moment. Do whatever you can now. That Eckhart Tolle's nice book is there, Power of Now. It is Power of Now. If you do, that is your scope. Now is the scope. Past is gone. Future is not in your hands. Your scope is now. Do whatever you can now. Don't think of the results that I will get this, I will get that. That is not within your scope at all. You cannot, you have no right to that, no claim to that. This is hard to accept, friends. But this is the truth. Truths are not sometimes very easy to accept. They are easy to understand, but not easy to accept. So, I have absolutely no claim to the results of the action. It is not easy to accept. We keep on expecting and expecting and expecting. And thus, the work that has the capacity to liberate me, instead of liberating me, it adds one more bondage around me. That bondage, then I think, because of my action I got bound. Not your action, dear. It is your expectation of the result that has bound you. So, Lord says, look at this, your right is only limited to doing your work, not to the results thereof. Ma karma phala hetur bhu. Don't become, this is a very enigmatic statement. What does it really mean that don't become the cause of a further expansion of this chain? You want to become free, liberated, don't make this chain around you more powerful by expecting the results. It is karma phala hetu, means the cause of incurring the result of the work. What happens that when we have this idea that I am doing this work and I get this result, then whatever other results you may get, you may not get, one thing you surely get is bondage. Our bondage of action, it is a terrible bondage, friends. We are forced to do the work. Even though we don't want, there is no escape. Work is a terrible bondage. Work means you have to then take whatever outcome of that work is, it is going to sit on your head, your karma. And then in turn that becomes your work, that again sits on your head. No escape at all. So this is the terrible bondage that we incur because of this idea, I am doing the work and thus I have to get this result from it. When this expectation is not there, the work becomes the great weapon to cut this bondage. And that is what Sri Krishna will be gradually explaining to us, that the work is the means. You are handling it in the wrong way, and therefore that which could liberate you is resulting in binding you more and more. What you need to do is just to do it in the right fashion. Do your work without any expectation. Don't worry about other things at all. Keep on doing it. It is something that one learns gradually by doing. It is a matter of practice that how the work becomes a great agent of purification. In so many ways the work helps us. Many, many doubts about the God and other things that we get. Howsoever one may keep on arguing, those doubts will not find solution. But when the work, which is a purifying agent, when the work is done properly, then we will see that the truth appears before us. The doubts are set aside because this purification agent is applied. That like you have to clean a pot, then suppose you keep on arguing only what kind of dirt it is, and since how long it is sitting there, and which detergent will be the best one, and why, and keep on arguing for years and years, and not a speck of dust will move from the pot by that. In fact, something more will stick there. But just to start washing, and the dirt will be cleaned. So this working without expectations, this karma yoga is a great means to liberation. And it is gradually dawns upon people when they start working. One has to do it, keep on doing it. The more one does, the more will be the liberation from bondage. The less one does, well, the less will be this effect. The action is probably the only and the most important, at least, means, if not only, at least most important means for liberation. Properly orienting one's actions. So, therefore, in all our Upanishads, as we saw, Bhagavad Gita is nothing but presentations of the Upanishadic ideas in the easy and understandable manner, more easy to understand. In Ishavasya Upanishad, you get this idea. In the first verse, it is told, your goal is to see God in everything. Because God alone is real. That is the truth. Everything is God. Whatever you see is God. Like, it is all these chairs. If you ask, where is the wood? There is lot of wood in this room. Where is the wood? Well, all these chairs that you see, it is wood. Seeing them chair is not wrong, but see them as wood. That is wood. So, seeing all these names and forms, that is okay, but go beyond. See what the substance is, what it really is. It is these names and forms are not real. They come and go. The substance remains. That and that is to be seen. So, the first verse of this Upanishad tells that God alone is truth. That alone is to be seen everywhere. Cover everything by God. And the second line of this very verse says that this is called renunciation. Renounce everything means renounce the attachment to names and forms. See the truth, that is renunciation. Simple, beautiful, straightforward definition of renunciation. See the truth. Why do you not want to see the truth? It is, there is no reason really, because it is the truth after all will have its effect. Howsoever you try to run away from the truth, you can't do that. Truth is truth. It doesn't, you cannot mold it is the truth according to your wishes. The forms are not real. God alone is real. When you see this, this is renunciation. And if you are not able to do that renunciation right away, Upanishad says, okay, we understand that. Yes, you are attached to names and forms, I understand. You are not able to feel that they are unreal. Okay. Then let us find out the way by which you will be gradually seeing that they are unreal.
Kurvanneveha karmani jijivishechatam samaha evam tvai nanyate tosti na karma lipyate nare.
A beautiful and very forceful verse that kurvan eva iha karmani, by doing work alone, same, you know, only in different words, but the translation would come more or less same, that doing work alone, that is the way. Do work in this manner, that whatever names and forms you see are not real. Thinking about this, keep on doing your work. Kurvan eva iha karmani. And how long one should be doing it? Well, as long as it takes. There is not a particular 3 months or 6 months course. It is not that study of Vedanta means some, you go to some, this college, 3 year bachelor's course or 4 years bachelor's course. How many years course of God realization? There is no such time. When you will do it? As long as it takes. So how long should I be doing practicing this karma yoga? He said there, well, do it 100 years. 100 years was considered to be, or is even now generally considered to be, the limit of human life. So do it for 100 years. Doesn't matter. And then it says that if you do works in this way, then the works will not bind you. Na lipyate. The works then will not stick to you, the works will not then bind you. Is there some other way to do it? Because this is very difficult. Rajesh may think to do my works and be detached and see God everything. How can I do work? It is difficult. Is there some other way? Upanishad is very categorical about it. Says no. Na anyatha ita asti. There is absolutely no other way. There is no scope for running away from my work. We cannot. It is, people go in the forest thinking that let me get rid of all works. It would have been so easy. Living in the forest is not a difficult thing. One gets adjusted to all sorts of works, all different sorts of lifestyles. So many tribal people live in forests. Does it mean that they have attained their goal of life? Living in forest is not, it is, you may go and live in forest. Will you see thereby that everything is God? Swami Vivekananda in the practical Vedanta, right in the beginning of it, mentions this point, that these Upanishadic truths, they have been discovered
mainly by the ruling monarchs. Ruling kings, they have discovered it, these truths, while ruling their kingdoms. Upanishads are replete with the stories of various such kings. That Janashruti in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, that beautiful story comes that he comes to the king there. Then in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad there is also the story of King Janaka. The idea is this, that while doing your day-to-day work, you can achieve this truth if you perform this properly. So this is the point. Don't expect the results. And thus what will happen is, you will not be bound by the work. You will not become the cause of further bondage for yourself. And the last point is very important. Mate sangostu akarmani. Don't get attached to inaction. That comes very easily. It is psychologically, as we saw, an automatic reaction that comes because of the frustration in work. We get frustrated and thus feel that, okay, I want to be just alone, just by myself, no work, nothing around me. Then I will be at peace by myself. What happens is, you become an indolent, lazy person thereby. It is the addiction to inaction is the worst thing that can happen to a person. Instead of a spiritual growth, the person will be further tied up in what is called tamas, the solid ignorance. There will be no action outwardly, only because, not because that there is illumination, but because the desires are so densely packed now that nothing is able to come out. That is, the life becomes like that. It is, person becomes lazy. In fact, if a person is not really suited to monastic life, and yet because of some attraction of monastic life takes it up, that no, it is easy, and if you become monk, then it is so nice. See, I don't have to do much work. It is food comes to me automatically. So it is seen by people, look, this Swami has such a nice house to stay in, and doesn't have to do much work, and is always seem to be lot of supply of food at the center. So must be having this nice time, let me become monk. And in fact, friends, to tell you, in our order, so many young boys come to become monks. But they think that after coming to the center, that they will be just merging in meditation. They will have no work at all, but just thinking about God and merging. But when they are told to follow that discipline meticulously, hey, get up at 3 in the morning, come on. Why did you not come at 3 o'clock exactly? It was not 3 o'clock, that time was different. I was told to come at a particular, do particular work exactly at 12 o'clock. And then I reached some 5-7 minutes later instead of 12. I got there maybe some 12-5 or 12-6. And that Swami was a terror, so he said, he said, hey,
does not mean 1161. Remember this. 12 does not mean 1161. So when the person is subjected to this kind of discipline, after a while, if either you adopt or you get out. So most of those who come to join the center, statistics shows that within 1 year, most of them say bye-bye. It is. Some of them, they become monks somewhere else, want to remain alone, no order, discipline, that is not my lot, let me just be monk by myself. No discipline, very nice. It is very tempting, but it is not spiritually elevating at all. It is soon seen that the person takes up some other work. I have seen some such people. It is not so easy to think that, well, let me be all by myself. Although the world is not like that. All our lives are interdependent on each other. So, it will come in Bhagavad Gita. One of the ideas of yoga is to understand the interdependence of the whole universe. But anyway, we shall take it up in the next class. It is already time. Any question? Yes, Tom?
Swamiji, does a person have a right to choose their work? In other words, if they're not content with what they're doing,
Yes, that is a question there, not a very easy answer available for that. Boils down to the matter of how much choice do we have in the whole design, how much choice really do we have. It is, you can choose, you can see that, well, this, if you have a choice between doing five works, one of them you can do. So you pick it up, whatever, but depends on how, on what basis you made the choice. As that Bertrand Russell said, the question is, the question of choosing comes when what you are going to choose from, are they gloves or are they socks? It is the gloves and the socks. No, the gloves have the different characteristics. Right and left is there for gloves. So there is something that you can choose from. For socks, there is no separate characteristic. So it is, you have to see whether a particular work, why you want to choose that and not this one. That will determine whether it was right or not right. What made you choose that? On what basis you made this choice? That this is not right for me, that is right for me. And depending on what desire made you choose a particular work, that will decide whether it was right or it was not right. Yes, George?
This Kama Yoga, I got a problem about, it seems to me that it's the expectation for the results that really screw you up.
Yes. Well, it is. I understand your point.
Yeah, you take like all the people who come from India to do electronic works over here and everything. I mean, they're all over here already.
Whatever, yeah.
High skill and so forth. And why do they do it? because they expect to make a lot of dough and have a good life and so forth. The expectation's there. And a lot of them do. I mean, I don't mean just them, but they expect things from it. They do get satisfaction from it.
That is true, that they may get satisfaction from it of that level. But that doesn't become karma yoga, that doesn't become yoga of action. Their actions become source of bondage for them. Because the expectations, they are again and again, newer expectations get generated from that which have no end at all. The other thing that you said, doing your work beautifully to get the right result of it, like somebody is doing some painting, and then that person, I don't care for the result, and so she do it haphazardly. I told here that incident in my early monastic life, that the Swami, I was washing the clothes, and then they didn't get clean. You know, I washed, but they didn't become clean. So he is told that don't do karma yoga here, that my job is just to wash, not to get them clean. Whether they become clean or not, I should not pay attention to. My job is just to wash. Whether they clean or not, I don't care for the result. He said that kind of karma yoga won't do. The result means here that action automatically means that if you are doing the washing the clothes, that action means cleaning them. Washing, the very word washing means cleaning it. So if they are dirty, then that means you have not done your work. So what is meant by don't expect anything is that praise from people, that yes, hey, you do this work so nicely, how nicely you have washed the clothes, they sparkle like anything, and then you feel, wow, I do such nice work. So it is, that is what is really meant here, and that will be clarified further too. That is true. It is all very beautiful, and it is done with great dedication and all that, I know. But I do not know whether there was any desire for praise or yeah. That is true. That you feel that it is done right. But that is not the whether it is karma yoga or not, it doesn't depend on that. Everybody, so many people will do those things right and feel satisfied. But that is not, that doesn't automatically make it karma yoga. Yeah. 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 Yes, so it is that also is a bondage. Gradually we will see that Lord tells that even the desire that the God will be happy with my work, that desire also should not be there. It is, even that desire also is a bondage, so that desire also should not be there. This is a graded course, as much as we can. It is not going to, if I tell even to myself, let alone it is that, well, hey, do all works without any expectation, then I will not be able to do probably anything. So, therefore, as much as possible, try to do it. And yes.
I mean, that's the only answer.
Yeah.
Bill Gates is unhappy that he created $3 billion. In other words, that gives him satisfaction.
That gives satisfaction, but that satisfaction is in itself, it becomes a bondage.
Well, it can
Yes. So because you keep on seeking for some more satisfaction, it is, there are so many, huh?
More satisfaction when you drop out of college, you could do this.
It is like that. No, I understand your question. It is not related at all to your getting some satisfaction of doing some work nicely. That should be done. But being satisfied just with that is not karma yoga if you are expecting the praise from people or the idea that, well, I should get reward for this in some form or the other, then it is not karma yoga.
Yes.
Yoga of action is just do it and forget about it. You have to, you know, you have to. Yes, what do you say? This young...
to do it sincerely, as long as you put your heart into it, and that's all that matters. And you shouldn't expect
anything. That is what is told here. Put your heart and soul in it, and then forget about it. Don't expect that somebody likes it, somebody doesn't like it, somebody praises, somebody doesn't praise. There is so much of problem, you know, many good workers, they do nice, especially in artists, you see this thing. There are so much of personal jealousy and these things, so when you come close to their lives, you are appalled by that these people with such wonderful skills, very nice musicians or painters and all that. But why that fellow got that grant and why I did not get it? It is that becomes the source of lot of heartburns. It is so the karma yoga is very important to practice. It is you have hit the nail right on the head. Put your heart and soul in it, and that's it. Don't ask for anything else, right?
Because, it's about yourself, and you can't compare yourself to no one else because you're perfect in your own way, and if you try to relate to other people, you'll see the difference.
You start comparing. So let us conclude with the closing prayers. गीता सुगीता कर्तव्या किमन्यत् शास्त्र विस्तरैः या स्वयं पद्मनाभस्य मुखपद्माद्विनिसृता एकं शास्त्रं देवकी पुत्रगीतम् एको देवो देवकी पुत्र एव एको मन्त्रः तस्य नामानि यानि कर्माप्येकं तस्य देवस्य सेवा श्रीकृष्णार्पणमस्तु